Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome back to the Release Your Power Show. Well, I am so very, very, very just elated to be here on today, being Thursday morning. I mean, I tell you, we're here on the East Coast, and the weather is finally starting to just be beautiful. Every day, well, we've got two whole days now, so we know that it will keep up, and so we are just thankful for that because it is so beautiful here in the summertime. But welcome, just want to welcome you to the Release Your Power Show. This is a show that does come on typically once a week, but for the next 2 weeks, we're coming on early in the morning because we want to get up and talk about our upcoming symposium that's going to take place on May 3rd. We are going to be in Newark, New Jersey on May 3rd at Essex County College. Now, Essex County College is a junior college where they provide all the major disciplines. You can get a degree in nursing, sociology. You can get a degree in English, journalism, communications, all different things. But I happen to teach for the business department. And I've been doing that for several years now. For about 4 years now, I've been teaching with the business department, teaching business classes. Now, one of the areas that we do, one of the things that we do at the college, we do host a lot of empowering events for our students as well as the general community. Now, the event that I'm speaking of is the Wealth Strategy Symposium. Now, this is an event that I happen to have come up with. If you listened to the segment yesterday, you heard me giving you a little background about how I met Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, who is our keynote speaker for this event, how I met him, and I was just so impressed by his speaking ability, number one. He's a great motivational speaker. He's funny. He has a lot of wisdom. You know, we learned that wisdom and knowledge are different. You know, when you have knowledge, you basically just have a lot of information. But when you have wisdom, you have key strategies on how to use that information, how to apply that information. And so that is one of the big differences. And one of the problems that I know I've experienced in my own life, and I'm sure others have as well, which is one of the reasons why I got involved with this, and came up with the Wealth Strategy Symposium as God gave it to me, because believe me, I don't feel I'm smart enough to come up with. I don't have the wisdom. This takes a divine wisdom to come up with a Wealth Strategy Symposium for such a time as this, at a time where a lot of people are in poverty, a lot of people want to get out of poverty. So that's why I say it certainly was not my idea per se. Yes, God did speak it through me, but you know, one of the things that I began to see, even for my own life as it relates to wealth, is that I'm not thinking about money and wealth in the proper format. You know, like my mind isn't right about wealth. I began to wonder about, you know, what is it? Why are some people wealthy and some people not? You know, and that's how it sometimes, that's how you can start very great debates and you can begin a very serious research a project. And when you begin to ask those questions, or you know, why is it that some of us don't have wealth? You know, in other words, what am I doing wrong? Is there something that I'm doing wrong? Could there be something that I'm doing wrong? And if that is the case, then what do I need to do right? What do I need to do so that I can be wealthy? And when I talk about being wealthy, I'm talking about, you know, not having this situation where you're constantly broke, living paycheck to paycheck, and things like that. And so that's what I'm talking about. How is it that you can not, you know, you can't pay your bills on time, you don't have enough money, and you're just sitting around waiting and waiting and waiting. And so, and you don't want to, this is not a way that you want to live. You don't want to live paycheck to paycheck, and you don't want to, you know, not have enough money to pay your bills and things like that. And so this is one of the reasons that I really, really wanted to do this show, okay? And so, and then this conference where we're going to have, like I said, Dr. Dennis Kimbrough is our keynote speaker. Now, as you know, Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, he is the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And he has a lot to say about money and wealth. And so, it's almost like what happens sometimes with a person that is addicted to, like, various substances, whether it be drugs, alcohol, whether it be a person addicted to being in love with a person that is, abusing them, that at some point you just get to a point where you say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then usually it's at that point that our mind is ready to do something different. Because, again, I have to quote Dr. Kimbrough on this. I love when he says, the pocketbook can't grow until the mind grows. Now, some of us probably remember also Dr. Susie Armand, and she wrote a book, The Courage to Be Rich. And I remember when I first discovered that book about 7 years ago, and I remember, you know, I purchased the book and I was looking through the book. I didn't read the entire book, but I did read some of the key pieces in the book, because at the time, I've been in school since 1990, working on an associate's degree, and I'm still in school finishing up a PhD. And so I've gone to school pretty much straight, because I didn't go back to school till late in life until I was 33. And so I wanted to accomplish all of those degrees. So I've been going pretty much every semester, just taking one or two semesters off. But I didn't have time to read a whole lot of other books, because going for the various degrees that I've gone for, it required a lot of reading. And anytime you're in school getting your education, the time that you have to spend on your education can be very, very overwhelming, and it can, you know, be a lot. So that's why I didn't really read the whole book. But I read enough in there to know that she also talks about, it's not just about having money and having wealth. You really have to know how to handle it. And as a matter of fact, I believe what they're really saying is that when you don't know how to handle it, you won't get it. Because, and I heard someone saying yesterday on the show, money is like, they said, money is like finding a good woman or something like that. It's like, it'll go on to the next person. If you don't know how to handle money, money just won't stay around with you. And I know that's probably something like what my mother used to say. She used to say that a fool and his money shall soon part. And so it probably means a very, very similar thing. And so what is it with money? Now, again, we want to have money to, we certainly need money to pay our bills. And we certainly, you know, we want to have, you know, we don't want to be in poverty. Why should we? Why should we be poor? You know, some people love to quote the scripture that says, the poor shall always be with us. Well, guess what? That's okay, but it doesn't have to be me, because I get to make a decision today. Yes, and I know Jesus was saying that. Yeah, he says, the poor you shall always have with you. Fine. Well, let the poor be someone else. And this is today, this is 2008. And right before 2008 came, you know, people were coming up with all their New Year's resolutions and their New Year's slogans and what have you. And the slogan that I came up with, God is doing it great in 2008, that God is going to do it great in 2008. And I said, you know, God, I know you're going to do something great this year. And, you know, sometimes we have our expectations of, you know, what we want God to do and how great we want it to be. And then all of a sudden, you know, God does a new thing. He just does something so totally different than what you had anticipated. And I love when he does that. I really do. And I'm going to tell you why I love that. Because it brings his word to life. Because the word of God, there's a scripture that says that he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So when I'm sitting there imagining and having an expectation of a particular thing, then it just, you know, really takes my breath away when God does something totally new. And one of the things that I didn't have on my agenda was this, you know, whole thing where, you know what, I'm not going to be poor. Yeah, I had thought about it. I kind of danced around it before. But for some reason, you know, there was still that fear factor. You know, you can want something, but you can still have that, just that little bit of doubt. I mean, sometimes just enough doubt, like a mustard seed. You know how the Word of God tells you that a mustard seed of faith can move an entire mountain? Just a little mustard seed. A mustard seed is like so tiny. It's probably like the smallest of all seeds. Well, you know what? I'm learning that just a mustard seed of doubt can ruin your entire plan of expectation of what God is going to do. Because, I mean, that's also scripture. The word says that if you doubt in your heart, then he cannot move on your faith and what you're asking for. Because actually, if there's doubt, then your faith is either too low, or you're not acting on your faith, or you're not tapped into your faith. And so I just decided that this year, not next year, but I said this year, all of a sudden, like a tsunami inside of me, it's saying, poor no more. I'm not going to be poor anymore. And with that, I had to find out, how do I do that? Because I've always been poor. And so obviously, I don't know how to do it. And, you know, sometimes that's like the biggest problem, is when we don't know how to do something, we don't know how to go and find out how to do it, or sometimes we don't know how to ask for help, or we don't want to ask for help. You know, some people, you know, their pride is in the way, and, you know, they're maybe taught or trained that to ask people for something is to belittle yourself, is to devalue yourself, is to prove that you are less than, or to prove that you are not good enough, or this and that, and some people think like that. But you know what? How else are you going to learn? You want to just keep making mistake after mistake after mistake, and then waking up 30, 40, 50 years later and finding out that you have made such a mess, and now it's going to take you another 50 years to fix it? No, it's better to, you know, make those little simple mistakes and messes and then quickly ask someone for help or find out how you can turn it around. And so that's what I'm now doing, is I'm on a mission now. And so, you know, the question, though, I want to ask you is, what does it really take to move from poverty to wealth? And maybe you tuned into the Release Your Power show, and you know, you're listening to the show, and you wanted to know, you know, what would we be talking about? Well, for one, Release Your Power show, just to back up for a moment, it is a motivational show. It's an empowerment show. I'm a motivational speaker. I'm an empowerment coach. I empower people to transform their lives, to go from nothing to something, to go from high school dropout to, you know, PhD graduate, how to go from, you know, being in a series of bad relationships to finally finding a great relationship, from being homeless to homeowner, and all these different types of transformations, to being spiritually bankrupt, to being, you know, spiritually free and happy, and, you know, working toward, you know, working out your soul salvation. You know, we all want to be saved. We all know that. Everybody wants to be saved. You know, there's probably not a lot of people, they don't want to, you know, some people can't handle the thought of where I'm going after this life. But most people know that they want to go somewhere, and they want that place to be good. Because just think about it. If people spend all their lives, all their time, all their money to make this life the best, certainly they wouldn't want the life after this to be anything less than the best. So that's why, you know, we do what we do. That's why we love the Lord the way we do, because no other God has promised such a glorious future. You know, that's like a woman, you know, having a choice to date someone who is on drugs, who's locked up, and promising her to come with him, versus a man who lives in a mansion, has a great, wonderful career or job, saying come with them. You know, it's the sort of the same situation. So we choose life. We choose, that's why I choose Christ. I don't know why other people choose him, but God has offered me this glorious future, and then he told me that I could live it today. And so it took me a long time to get there with living it today. But that's how got involved with the empowerment coaching and the motivational speaking, is that, you know, God has really done some tremendous, awesome things in my life, just so incredible. I don't have enough time here today to go over them. But if you also tune into my other blog talk radio show, if you just put in my name, Lalisa, the fire starter, it'll come up. But I tell you, this is something that I know that God has commissioned me to do. Now, back to the Wealth Strategy Symposium. So what is this power to get wealth that God speaks of? Because we don't have to live in poverty. If you don't want to live in poverty, you don't have to. There are things that we can do to get out of poverty. And I'm going to give you some things, some steps in a minute. But I just wanted to make clear that this is scripture. So if you are a Christian and you're listening to this show, if you are a believer, I want to decree and declare that you have every right to get out of poverty. There is no way we're supposed to live in poverty. Now, if you want just a clear declaration of that from the scriptures, you can look in the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Okay, just read the entire chapter 8 in the book of Deuteronomy. It's not that long. It's only about 18 verses. You could read that. It's wonderful. It really, really lays it out. And many of the people out here nowadays who are teaching, even those that are teaching about the new earth, you know, most of what they've said has come from the Bible. They did not have another source, you see. They have no other source to come up with, even the laws of attraction. I've watched the video. I've listened to each and every one of them. I went on all of their websites, and over and over and over, I, you know, found similarities to the Word of God, the Bible. So they did not get another. You see, they cannot even quote any other source. Any source they quote, it is in the Bible. If they say, we believe in the universe, well, God says in the beginning, I create heaven and earth and all the everything else. So it's right there. If they say, well, we believe that, you know, trees are our God. Fine. God created trees. He says right there in the book of Genesis, in the first book of Genesis, it says right there, the first chapter, rather, it says, and God made the trees. He made the birds. He made the air. He made everything. He made the oceans. He made everything. So, you know, so the teaching is right there, and all you have to do is open it. But right there in Deuteronomy 8 and 1, he even talks about why we were in poverty. He said, you know, he allowed us to go to the wilderness, through the wilderness, to humble us, to test us, because God wanted to know what was in our hearts. And he wanted us to know what was in our hearts, so that when he removed it, when he removes those wicked desires out of our hearts, we won't be upset, because we know that it's there. Also, in the book of Deuteronomy, he talks about that. I love how he says that we're going to have a land of olive oil and honey. We're going to have a land in which you can eat bread without scarcity. You see, that right there goes against the whole study of the modern day economics. He also says, in which you will lack nothing. Now, I tell you, who wouldn't serve a God like that? Also, he tells us all the way down in the 18th verse of the book of Deuteronomy, he says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." He says, "And he may establish his covenant, which he swore to his fathers, as it is this day." And then there's just a couple of more verses after that. So we praise God and we thank God for his power that he gives to us because it is he. You know, God's biggest thing is that he doesn't want us to forget him. And some of you know about this. Some of you can't even stand when your husband forgets your birthday, or you can't stand when your wife forgets to call you and tell you where she's going after work. Some of us can't stand for our children not to, let us know where they are. Some people, some people actually get upset when their children grow up and leave home. They feel lonely. So we can understand if we, being human, can do this. What in the world do we think for our God, that our God can do this? And so we just thank you for tuning in to the Release Your Power show. I see that one of my wonderful friends has just dialed in, Lady Renee. How are you? Welcome to the Release Your Power show.
How are you, Prophetess Lalisa?
Oh, listen, we are doing it here today, talking about the power to get wealth.
Yes, hallelujah, and guests. Don't you have Dr. Kimbrough on?
Well, Dr. Kimbrough's not on yet this morning, but
okay.
I'm praying that he'll be able to come on one day this week.
Okay, well, praise God. I just looked on to MySpace, and I saw it, and I said, oh, let me hurry up and click on here. I didn't want to miss anything. Amen?
Oh, listen, I'm only doing a short show today. Half hour, because I had to go and do some other things this morning, but I will be back on here tomorrow morning, and all next week I'm going to reach out and see if I can get Dr. Kimbrough on, or certainly people that was at the Wealth Strategy Symposium last year. Dr. Kimbrough was our keynote, and we're bringing him back to New Jersey. Also, I'm not sure if he's still on, but we had the preacher politics on. And so he was looking at the book because I was able to upload the cover of his book.
Okay.
Whoever's in the chat room can also see the cover of his book. And you can, you can go right to Amazon. Wonderful book, Think and Grow Rich. And it's going to be awesome. It'll be next Saturday, May 3rd.
Okay.
And so, and I was just going over Deuteronomy, the eighth book of Deuteronomy.
Right, right. What an awesome chapter.
Sorry, the eighth chapter, rather.
Right, right. What an awesome chapter.
Yes, because sometimes people think, it's okay to be poor. But Lady Renee, I said, not me no more.
That's right. Amen.
I'm not going to be poor no more. I'm not going to settle for it. And that scripture that says, the poor, Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. Well, fine. Let it be someone else.
Right, and he's not talking about us, because he didn't mean for us to stay in that condition. He became poor that we, through his poverty, might be rich, and it is God's will for us to be blessed, even financially, so that he would be establishing his covenant. Amen?
I'll be going over for these next, few days, tomorrow and all next week, going over some wealth-building strategies. Because what I found out with my own self, it was about some things that I was not doing.
Right. Okay.
We have to face it, like I said before.
Exactly.
When we're going wrong, we simply have to stop, realize what we were doing wrong, and go another way.
Amen. 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 So I
one of the things that I said yesterday is that we first, it's not just about getting a lot of money.
No.
So Dr. Kimbrough makes it clear that there's a difference between being rich and wealthy.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I love how he says the pocketbook can't grow until the mind grows.
Right. And you know what? And that is so very true. And also, you need wisdom to go along with that wealth.
Exactly. That's why I think Dr. Kimbrough is such an awesome speaker for this particular symposium. We're going to have other panel guest speakers there. We're going to have people from the real estate industry, the banking industry, the investment industry. We're bringing it down to the people who need it most. Some people would say, well, you know, see, typically, see, these kind of I learned through my research that these kind of wealth strategy conferences, Lady Renee, go on every day in the rich neighborhoods.
Yes.
Where the rich, see, the rich don't just wake up automatically and become rich.
That's
they
right.
train themselves each and every day. And when I say rich, I mean the rich and wealthy.
Right.
They
right.
train themselves. They don't just, you know, wake up, go outside, look in the backyard, and then they're wealthy. No, they go to seminars. They go through training. They learn. They teach each other.
Yes, how to become wealthy. How to
yes.
become. And you know, the thing is that even, you know, when we take this, you know, from a biblical perspective, you know, it's according to our soul prospering is going to be to the degree that we're going to even prosper financially. So as we begin to really speak, because you cannot address, I mean, or fix what you don't acknowledge or what you're not aware of. So what I like about these kind of conferences or symposiums is that you're getting the information necessary, because in order for you to change, you have to know what you need to do. You have to become aware of where you're going wrong, how to change your mindset. So that
yes.
you not think on a poverty level, but you think wealthy on the inside of you.
Yes. And that you then begin to line up your actions with your faith.
Yes, the practical steps, because that's another thing I wanted to say. Oftentimes, even as Christians, sometimes we have it one-sided, and, you know, where it's just all spiritual. But, no, there's also a practical side to everything. You have a part to play. You have to be disciplined with your dollar. You have to be disciplined with your minimum wage in order to grow into more and more. You have to be faithful handling what you have right now, and to the degree that you are handling that and being faithful with that will be to the extent that he will bless you with more. Because one thing about the God that we serve, he has it for us, but the Bible lets us know that an heir, as long as he is a child, he differs nothing from a servant. You see what I'm saying? Because he can't. You're not going to give your two-year-old a car to drive. You know,
right.
because it simply would destroy that two-year-old. That two-year-old is not ready to learn how to drive and understand, you know, about a car. So you wouldn't do that. And the same thing with God. He's not going to give you something that will destroy you. And the word even tells us that, you know, the foolish, you know, the wealth, if he gives wealth to the fool, it would destroy him. So God wants us to have wisdom with our wealth. Amen. And there is a such thing as good success, and that's what we want. We want to have good success, not just I have money, you know, but then all across the other areas of my life, I'm all messed up. But he wants us to be blessed all across the board.
Yes, you know what, you're right. You're saying everything you're saying. I definitely, you know, that's why, you know, I wanted to do this call, and I wanted to have people calling in, also sharing, because the thing is, we're not going there alone. You know,
amen.
I don't want to just have wealth and it's just me. I could simply just go out, buy the books, read them, practice them, and keep it going, keep it moving.
That's
as
right.
say. But no, I want it for you. I want it for the person next to you. I want it for your children.
Yes.
I want it for your grandchildren. I want
yes.
it for my neighbors. I want it for my kids. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Because we don't believe, just like I was just reading in Deuteronomy. Believe in this scarcity. We know that our God is the God of abundance.
Yes, and yes, he is.
And I don't have to try to hoard anything. I don't want to hoard anything. God told us to be stewards over our. He didn't say be a hoarder. You know,
amen.
Matter of fact, you know, he was kind of shooting down the person that just hides all their stuff in a barn and
mm-hmm,
has to store all their stuff up in a barn where it's just going to rot away.
That's right.
He
that's
wants us
right.
to get stuff and also then to funnel that stuff back out to people. And so
exactly.
that's one of the first things that, you know, that I said yesterday is that we have to have a reason for wanting wealth. It's not just about so I can sit back and say, look at me, look at what I got. Because the minute we do that, God is going to destroy us. That's what it was
right.
saying in Deuteronomy. Because the minute I sit back and say, look at me, I've
right.
already taken away the principle of God gave me power to get this wealth.
And he gave you power to get wealth for the kingdom. Like, we have to remember that we're blessed to
be
a blessing. You know, so not only will our needs totally be met, but if you look in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 all the way down to 15, by us having more than enough, we'll be furnished in abundance so that we can always support any good work and donation, and charitable donation, which would cause those people who are being blessed by our, you know, contributions to give much thanks and praise to God. He wants us to establish his kingdom right here on earth. There's no poverty in heaven. It shouldn't be none on earth in our lives. So as we become empowered through gaining this understanding, through getting revelation, first of all, revelation that God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be wealthy, because when he calls Melissa to open that building, he don't want her to be in debt, because he tell us to owe no man nothing, because the borrower is the is actually your servant to the lender. So, and God said that we are to be the heads and not the tails. Amen? So
exactly.
On that note, this is why we need wealth, you know, not just for me and my four, but where God can speak to me and say, I want you to sow into that. I want you to sow into that, because there's no better investment than the kingdom of God. That's the only place where you can go and sow your seed, and you're guaranteed a 30, 60, or 100-fold, and it doesn't mean 30 times more, 60 times more, or 100 times more.
I mean, and nobody can prove that God doesn't want wealth. Adam and Eve, my God,
they
were created and they were placed in the Garden of Eden. They had nothing was missing and broken. They had so much more than enough. And then, even if you just look all the way down, even after we come through Abraham and, you know, what happened there, and the, even with Joseph, and after they got over in Egypt, oh, my God, God brought them out of bondage to bring them into a wealthy place.
Yes, yes, yes.
So if they, even when they were at their lowest point with nothing, they were slaves.
That's right. Come on now.
He could have left them slaves, or he could have just let them get it a little bit better.
But
he did more than
a covenant-keeping God. Because he's a
covenant-keeping
God.
He brought them out from that bondage. Brought them out, took them through the wilderness to bring them into a wealthy place. And I love how it explains in Deuteronomy, I took you through that wilderness to test your heart.
That's right. Like, he knew what was in our hearts, but you needed to see what was in your heart. You needed to see what was in your heart. You needed to know if you was going to still serve God or not, that if you was going to keep moving even when it looked like it was nothing. And the thing that's amazing about that is that even here God was, he done worked the miracle. You understand, where he parted the Red Sea, where they were able to go across on dry ground. Then when they get over there and they face a little obstacle, like it looks like we might not eat, they begin to panic. And that's like us today. If God put you, if you got the house, and it was impossible for you to get the house, but you got it. Now, why are you crying and been scared that you're going to go into foreclosure? You know, it's equivalent to he done parted the Red Sea. He got you in the house. He's going to keep you in the house. Hello?
He's going to keep you. And you know what? And that was another reason that I really felt, you know, led to do this topic, because I know with my own situation, when I had any time I had money problems, you know, like especially here lately, every single time over the past, you know, few years or whatever, every time I got into a situation, you know, whenever I was having a situation, should I say, I would just begin to talk to the Lord. And God, I'm telling you, he just began to give me strategies. Do this, that. Do this, do that. Very clear strategies. So even with a foreclosure.
Yes, come on now. Come on.
Even with in the business, God, if you ask God, God, what do you want me to do? God, who shall I call up today? God, whose door do I knock on today? God, who do I send my resume to today? God, he is smart enough in his infinite wisdom to get you the message to your question. He can't answer you. You don't ask.
Amen.
I mean, he can, no doubt. But why wait? Why not just ask him?
Amen.
Are you waiting so you can sit around and cry about what you done lost?
Amen.
When you could have went ahead of time and asked. He said, we have not because we ask not.
That's right.
So why are we waiting? So when I said, God, I don't want to be in debt anymore.
That's right. Come on. Come on. Amen. Amen.
God, I don't want to be in debt no more. I said this a couple of years ago. I said, I'm claiming debt-free. I said it about 2.5 years ago,
Amen.
Sitting there one day watching Dr. Creflo Dollar. And
yes.
I said, well, he's talking about debt cancellation. I said, well, I'm just going to touch and agree with this man. Well,
Amen.
All of a sudden, the year later, God put on my heart and put in all of my, within my power, because he said, I give you power to get well. He put within my power to put together the Wealth Strategy Symposium.
Yes.
I said, now, God, I know you got a sense of humor.
Yes.
I am dead broke at the time he came to me with that.
Come on.
Because I spoke it out of my mouth that I'm claiming debt cancellation. Because, you know, sometimes we just want that $20,000 check to show up in the mail.
Right. And it don't usually work like that.
See, we don't want it to show up in a piece of work that we got to do. But, see, why do you need power then?
But
I'm going to give you some muscle.
But look. But that's what he's talking about. You're going to receive. He's given you the anointing, the empowerment, the enablement to get the wealth. He'll give you concepts. He'll give you ideas.
Yes.
And insights. And as you begin to just live out of your spirit, what he put in there, like you said, he gave you the symposium. You
look at it.
Oh my God! Come on now.
How you gonna be poor after that? How you gonna be poor after you just sat down and planned a 2000? Last year we did it, right? And it was so funny what he got. I says, okay, God, but I don't have a dime. He says, listen, do the symposium. How come I walk down the halls at Essex County College without a dime? All I got is the name of the symposium, Wealth Strategy Symposium. I see a sign in the college that says Urban Issues Institute. It wasn't there before. They just put that sign up that day. I work in that college. I walk down the hallways of the college. I turn into that. I'm going somewhere else. I see the sign, I go in there, and I say to the woman, well, I want to do a symposium, and I was wondering if y'all could let me use your room here because it is attached to something the college did. She brought me in the man's office, who was the director at the time. He sat down. He says, oh, no problem. We'll take care of it. I says, well, I mean, our speaker is coming from Atlanta. He has an honorarium. Blah, blah, blah. He was like, don't worry. We'll pay for everything.
What? Look at that. And I need you also, prophetess, send me the flyer so that I can.
Because
this is this Saturday now, right?
Oh, no, Saturday come not Saturday, next Saturday.
Okay, right. But this way
you
I got to
read it. Yeah.
People,
let me get.
You know
I did.
I mean?
Forgot. I do. I do apologize. I have the flyer. Let me email it to you.
You know, make any arrangements. You know, that's the way that I can contribute. I want to come.
Absolutely.
I need the information, and I want to try to
Absolutely.
Bring some people with
yes,
me.
Yes, we want to. Yes. God for you. So we're going to be here again tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, we should be here the same time, 8:30.
Okay, 8:30.
And we've had. Oh, it's been a blessing. Thank God for you, Lady Renee, and I'm glad you did call so now I can get you that flyer, because I did put the flyer. It is on my website.
Okay, and am I able to see it? Send it to me on my yahoo.com, Women Destined for Greatness at yahoo.com, and this way I can forward it to the people that I'm inviting.
Okay, Women Destined
the attachment.
Number 4,
and if you could send the attachment PDF, that would be perfect.
Okay, you know what? I got to put it in a PDF. That's going to take me a minute, but I'll do it. I'm going to put it in a PDF first and then send it.
Okay, thank you.
I don't have it in a PDF. I have it in a JPEG or something.
Oh,
but I'm going to put it in a PDF,
fine.
Not
the
a problem.
JPEG is fine. The JPEG is fine. As long as it wasn't a Microsoft, the JPEG is fine. You can leave it.
Okay, Women Destined, the number 4, Greatness, at yahoo.com.
Yes.
And
it has
been
awesome, as always. And I will be on Pastor Rebecca's show this morning.
What time?
We're doing 12 o'clock.
12
o'clock.
Okay.
Right.
12. Let's see. Where am I going to be at 12? I'm going to see if I can tune in. You know, usually at 12, I'm going to the other center where I work.
Okay.
But God is blessing. Well, all right, Lady Renee. God bless you. Love
God
you.
God bless you, too. Love you, too.
And hopefully I'll be able to call in at 12. I'm going to try to call in even if I'm at wherever I'm at. I'll just turn my phone
can.
On.
You know we always love you. Okay, prophetess.
God bless you.
Have a lot to add, fire starter.
All right.
Amen.
Now.
Okay, love you. Okay.